Away from your radio? Listen to 1010XL on the 1010XL app, a free download for all smartphone users, or say, Alexa, open 1010XL.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
And now Richardson goes in motion to the right side. Back to throw. Green under a bit of heat. Turns Jabray. Lost the ball. It's on the ground, and he covers it up back at the 24-yard line. Marcus Stroud got his second sack of the game, forcing the fumble. There's the Jacksonville 36-yard line. Hutchinson, head bobbing and weaving as he calls out the signals. Drops to throw, trying to set up the screen. It's going to be pressured. It's sacked all the way back to the 44. Guess who? Big John Henderson.
Live from TIAA Bank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Jaguars Today on this Tuesday over at 1010XL World Headquarters, which is a little odd because today, down at the stadium at 11:45, Doug Marrone will step to the podium, I assume, first, Tony, followed by Nick Foles and Calais Campbell, as the Jaguars, among other things, officially introduced their new quarterback.
I saw Tad Dickman tweeting out this morning that Marrone and Calais are speaking at 11:45, and it looked like Foles is 2 o'clock.
Oh, is he later? A little bit later?
Yeah, 2:15 this afternoon, I think. But all three guys are going to be at a podium today answering questions as they get their offseason program started.
I did not have the order correct, obviously, but now you know. And it doesn't really matter to you as far as this show is concerned. We'll bring you a lot of those thoughts that you hear from those guys tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we'll get to the question of the day, which applies to that. Coming up, the news of the day in the National Football League, and we said yesterday, I think we both agreed, wouldn't be surprised at all, and I don't know if we were leaning more likely than not that Russell Wilson would get the deal done to stay in Seattle. And initially, when I looked at it, I was like, all right, 4 years, $140 million, what could they have done if they had just franchise-tagged him out after mm-hmm. this season? But it's 4 years, $140 million in new money. That means they still have him on the books this year for $17 million bucks. So, there are a lot of ways this factors in, and it's interesting, at least to me, as it pertains to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Talking about Nick Foles, Super Bowl MVP, right?
Yes.
Russell Wilson, did he win Super Bowl MVP? I believe he did, right? When they won the first one?
Yeah.
No, Malcolm Smith.
That's right. He didn't. They got the safety on the first play of the game, and that was all
the fastest
downhill.
Touchdown in safety in Super Bowl history.
Right, first play of the game.
Cliff Averill.
First play of the game, our man Cliff got the job done. Thank you, E. He's like free Haiti. He's going to get it all in right there in the first 10 seconds. But you're right. But regardless, whether he was Super Bowl MVP or not, Russell Wilson, instrumental in the success of the Seattle Seahawks. They're trying to get him that MVP. That was the Marshawn Lynch backer storyline in the second go-round against the New England Patriots when they handed or didn't hand the ball to Marshawn Lynch, and Russell Wilson ended up throwing the interception. Malcolm Butler picks him off at the goal line, and the Patriots hang on and get the Super Bowl. But in terms of accomplishments, look, Russell Wilson, we talked about it yesterday, Tony, has only failed to go to the playoffs one time in his NFL career.
Yep.
Nick Foles doesn't have that same kind of resume, but in recent vintage, he's been as good as anybody in the postseason, right? I mean, he just has. Sure. He won a Super Bowl. Like, you look in the last 2 years, he's one of the teams one of the guys that won a Super Bowl. He was the MVP and had a nice little playoff run last year, beating the number one defense in the league in Chicago on the road. So you look at that Nick Foles contract, all of a sudden at $22 million, $88 million over 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Russell Wilson's going to get $140 over four new years. That's $35 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that's a $13 million difference in salary cap savings. Again, I'm not saying Russell Wilson isn't preferable to Nick Foles, okay? But what degree? Is he 50% better than Nick Foles? That's a legit question to me because that's about what he's getting paid, right? I mean, really more than that, right? If Nick's getting 22 on average, add another 11, that 50%, you're still not getting up to Russell Wilson's average over the new 4 years of his deal. So Russell Wilson's getting a ton of money. Does that at all put the Nick Foles – look, again, you got the whole debate, were they bidding against themselves? And no matter what they spent, could they have spent less because there were no other apparent suitors at the time? Does it make you feel any better? Does it matter to you at all when you see the money now projecting out over the next 5 years that some of these quarterbacks, that if you want a guy that you think can play you deep into the postseason. Both of these guys have proven to be able to do that. Did the Jags actually get a big bargain on Nick Foles?
Potentially, yeah. Potentially they did. I think people are arguing at the time when he signed the contract, exactly what you were saying there. Did they get less of a bargain than they could have?
Sure.
With Nick Foles, potentially, and maybe they could have. Who knows? They got him signed for what they got him signed for, and he's a middle-of-the-pack quarterback as far as what they're having to pay him coming in here. And there is some level of expectation that he could play above middle-of-the-pack quarterback. You know, like, there is more upside as far as what you're paying for what you're getting with a guy like Foles than there would be for Rodgers or Russell Wilson from just a dollar basis, right? Like, there's a level of – when you're paying him $35 million, he wins the Super Bowl, you're like, yeah, we're paying him $35 million. You know, like, that's the expectation. Come in here and put us on that kind of level. So there is, I guess, that kind of argument to it. I think Seattle's probably happy about getting their quarterback locked down for the next 5 years now. And Jacksonville seems pretty happy about having their quarterback situation settled for at least the next three.
They're basically almost identical in age, 2 months apart in age. So that's not a big factor there. Different styles of play. You know, some I heard guys debating yesterday, I think it was on XL Primetime, whether or not Russell Wilson's style of play will hold up. You know, just because he's more mobile quarterback as you age, are you going to be able to do that? I think he can. You know, I think you look at some of the guys, like look at Randall Cunningham. Randall Cunningham was pretty much the same guy, right, throughout his career. Mike Vick was kind of the same guy. If you're not taking those big hits, and he hasn't had those kind of major injuries to his legs, I think Russell Wilson would be the same. I think the question that came down for the Seattle Seahawks was, 3 years from now, would we be willing to sign Russell Wilson to a two-year, $56 million contract? And in 3 years, will Russell Wilson, at $28 million per for a couple of years, to get him to his age 35 season, be a bargain? Because if you look at the way they could have played this out, they could have. They're on the hook for $17 million this year. Now forget the salary cap figure; it's higher, but that factors in the signing bonus. It's already accounted for. So he's making $17 million in cash this year. Then he was, if they had franchise tagged him, roughly, and these numbers could have been a little off, but roughly expected to be about 30 and a third million next year, and then a second tag in 2021 would have been $36.36 million. All told, had they gone that route, they would have owed Russell Wilson over 3 years $83.66 million. So you subtract that, we'll round it to 84. Subtract that from the contract that he signed and where he's at with $157 million, and he's roughly in that ballpark. I think I'm a little off on the math, but I think you kind of get the idea. In fact, I am a little bit off on the math because I don't think when I factored in the 28, it might be higher than that because when I don't know if I factored in the $17 million for this season when I did that. But either way, it's done. It's a pretty sizable contract. I'm sure it'll be eclipsed by somebody else in the very near future. I don't think Roethlisberger will get bigger money than that. Do you?
No, probably not bigger money than that, but Mahomes certainly will.
Oh, Mahomes will get, you know, back up every bank in Kansas City. I don't know if there's enough money to pay Patrick Mahomes now, honestly.
I mean, and those guys, by the time we're talking about the end of this deal, like you're talking about the last couple of years of this Russell Wilson deal, well, yeah. I think there will be a handful of quarterbacks that are making more than Russell Wilson.
Oh, they're probably Aaron Rodgers. Look, 3 years from now, Mahomes will get whatever.
Massive.
And who knows what the salary cap will be. And that was one thing. Would Russell Wilson try to tie his contract to the rising fortunes of the salary cap as a percentage of the cap? And, you know, I think it behooves the team to not do that. Like, you get a hard cost. It seems like a lot now if the cap keeps going up $10 million, $10 million, $10 million every year. It's still a chunk of money, as we talked about yesterday, $35 million compared to $22 for Nick Foles. That's a $13 million player that you can no longer afford. Mm-hmm. That's a top-of-the-market free agent at, you know, maybe a non-premier position. Like, you're going to have to pay more for a defensive end or an offensive tackle, but pretty much most positions you could get a top-of-the-market guy in that range, and that's one less guy that'll Seattle will have. Or, you know, you split that up a few ways, and you know, you look at AJ Cann. That's a solid starter for you for the next few years. He's making $5 million a year, leave you with $8 million in cap space, and we can do this math over and over and over again, like we did with Nick Foles. Imagine, though, if you're in that market where you had to pay the $35, but if it gets you to the playoffs every single year, it's kind of hard to argue.
No, it really is, and I'm just looking at the list of the quarterbacks here. Cam Newton's contract is up after the 2020 season.
That'll be interesting,
yeah.
You know, because I don't know what kind of Cam is a guy who has a lot of wear and tear. He He does get injured a lot because he has a more physical running style. Russell Wilson's savvy. Russell Wilson doesn't take the big shot. Cam takes big shots.
There's always been, and there's not a whole lot of them that get the opportunity because of their size, but there's always been a place for, in the NFL for the little quarterback that can move around and extend plays. Fran Tarkenton's a Hall of Famer.
Right.
That's what he was.
For a long time.
For
right,
a long,
long time ago.
Long time, right? And the game keeps changing, but yeah, pocket quarterbacks and guys that can step back, five-step drop, read the defense, and get the ball out of their hands, there's always going to be a place for that.
I'm probably crazy, but I don't think Cam Newton's contract is going to set any kind of new mark when he comes up. You know, I just don't. I think
if he's got to deal with injuries the next couple seasons, certainly not.
Right. You know, so anyway, that's their concern to worry about. And today we'll get into the Jags. What unanswered questions you have prior to the draft? As we mentioned, Doug Marrone, he did, as Jeff and Dan pointed out, talk at the NFL the combine, at the owners' meetings, right? So we've heard a little bit from Doug Marrone this offseason, but are there any lingering questions for him? Certainly any questions you'd want to ask incoming quarterback Nick Foles or returning defensive lineman Calais Campbell? Those are the three being made available today. So what is the most burning question you have for one of those guys? What's the question, and which one would you ask it to? Now, look, if you want to give us a question you'd ask of each of them, that's fine. I didn't want to put the onus on you to come up with three different things today. So, at the very least, share with us your thoughts on social media and elsewhere. Who you'd like to direct that question to and what that question would be. You can hit us up on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, and the phone lines and text line will be open all morning at 641-1010, the text line driven by Duval Ford. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and E.T. in the house. So we are at 1010XL World Headquarters. Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, here we go. Jaguars Today on this Tuesday morning. Got all kinds of goodies to dig into. Schedule will come out tomorrow night. We split the difference.
Yeah.
I'd heard it might be Tuesday. Somebody heard it might be Thursday. No, it's going to be Wednesday night at 8 p.m. So, it's not like we don't have a bunch to talk about this week, Tony. We got the state of the franchise on Thursday. So for us, it kind of is bad timing. We'd have liked that spaced out a little bit. What about all these months when all we've done is take another mock draft and looked at another person telling us we're going to take Juwan Taylor here in the city of Jacksonville? Who knows? Maybe we will. And if we do, whoever it is, I hope he turns into a Pro Bowl type player. Interesting list and projection that ESPN did at the website, which is projecting the most likely Pro Bowl players in the draft class. You want to take any stabs? Like, not who necessarily the best players are overall ranking-wise, but who see how many you can get right out of the top 10 here. I've got the list. The best chance to become a Pro Bowl caliber player, according to their projection system. I don't know what goes all into the formula that they put in here. I'll give you a couple stabs at the top three, at least. Who do you got?
I think
cleanest prospects, like can't-miss type guys, right?
Devin White.
Devin White's number one, right? I mean, everybody say he's if that's what you're looking for, it's not as premium a position necessarily middle linebacker or an inside linebacker in a 3-4 in today's game as some other spots. But if you're looking for one of the cleanest prospects out there in terms of can't miss, Devin White tops the list.
Is it a Pro Bowler like their rookie year? Is that the – or just turn into a Pro Bowl
player? I think it's
player?
Overall. Overall, eventually, to make a Pro Bowl out of the draft class.
Okay. Nick Bosa.
Nick Bosa is – he's not in the top – he's sixth on the list. They rank. And I'll give you the percent chance. Again, I don't know how they calculate.
Sure.
How do you come up with this? But Devin White's a 70% chance to become a Pro Bowler, according to ESPN Stats Plus, whatever nonsense they call themselves these days, right? Bosa is a 45% chance to become a Pro Bowler. I come back. Why is Nick Bosa on everyone's board the number one player? I don't quite understand it.
His last name, man.
I mean, that's got to factor into it to some degree, right? Like, we know the bloodlines. We know his brother turned out to be everything we thought he would be when he get to the pros, and we expect the same from young Nick. But, man, just consistently across the board, number one guy, and he played, what, three games this past year? Obviously, due to injury.
Yep.
I mean, he's a good player. All right, so who else you got?
It is funny that they would have this list, and it's not just like whatever your list is.
Like your top guys.
Ranking the players, right? So Quinnen Williams?
Quinnen Williams might be your first strike. Let me see. Let me bring up the top 10. I'm like scrolling through some of this. Quinnen Williams is down. He's outside the top 10. I'll put it that way. I don't know if they give the percent. Here we go. Pro Bowl chance for Quinnen Williams, 38%. Starting caliber chance is 75%. But I'll give you that too. Devin White's a 90% starting caliber chance. 90? That's as confident as you are that you can't say anybody in this draft is a 100% starter caliber player in the NFL?
Yeah, that's a little crazy.
I mean, I can at least put him 99. I get it. Weird things happen with guys, right? That the most surefire guys sometimes flame out. But 90% is the highest confidence you have that any of these players are going to be a starting caliber. I always think that it's like fantasy football projections.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you look at weekly projections, they always project low, I think. You know, they never hit the guys that really had those peak weeks.
Sure.
On the projected things. And I think it's a conservative estimate there. So Devin White's a 90% chance, according to this metric, 75% chance to be a starting caliber player for Quinnen Williams, 38% chance he'll be a Pro Bowl caliber player. Who else you got?
So they got Devin White up there, which makes me think maybe it's a like it's easier to make the Pro Bowl at certain positions.
Okay.
And that would factor like it's I don't think it would be Juwan Taylor because he's a right tackle.
Juwan Taylor is not in the I don't know. Oh, this by the way, this is within the first three seasons.
Okay.
Okay. I finally found the metric
within
that we're talking
years.
About. It. Within the first 3 years. Juwan Taylor is not. I'm
because he's a right tackle.
I'm going to say they list 25 guys, and he's not listed.
I'll go Jonah Williams.
Jonah Williams is not listed.
Then they got to have an offense. Andre Dillard?
Andre Dillard's fourth overall.
Really?
Man, fourth overall, and he plays the more. Why is he not being talked about more? Right? I mean, like, get it. Like, the Jags need a right tackle. They're, you know, maybe the needs of the teams drafting in front of them don't align as well with offensive line. Although you do see the Giants taking Juwan Taylor in a lot of mock drafts.
Mm-hmm.
But here you got Andre Dillard, who most people say is the best left tackle. Here's a metric that says he is a 47% chance to become a Pro Bowl player in his first 3 years and a 92% chance he's a starting caliber offensive lineman, I'll say at least, in the NFL. He's the fourth. That's the fourth best out of every player in the draft. Why aren't we talking more about Andre Dillard?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe we should be.
Yeah.
You know, look, I get it. The need seems to be at right tackle, but man.
Left tackle, you're picking seventh.
It's so premier. Right? And look, I get it. You got Cam Robinson. I'm not here to help Cam Robinson's feelings, right? I mean, I know he wants to be the left tackle,
yeah.
But you know what? Beat out Andre Dillard and be the left tackle. That's
sure.
Fine, you know, and then let Andre Dillard fight it out amongst a sea of bodies at right tackle. You know, they really have stacked up a lot of guys at the position. I'm not saying high caliber guys, but, man, there are a lot of options right now for the Jags at right tackle. None of them that you're going to go into week one and say, man, I feel really good about that.
No.
But what you hope, I think, is if you don't go right tackle early, and let's say you go left tackle, then you're throwing Cam into the mix over there. But out of the rest of those guys, you're hoping somebody emerges to play above what they've done to this point,
mm-hmm.
Right? That's why you signed Cedric Ogbuehi.
Sure.
Because he's a former first-round pick, and, you know, he hasn't shown anything close to being a first-round selection right now. But they've got so many guys. They've got, obviously, Will Richardson as well. They signed a bunch of guys recently this offseason, including the return of Josh Wells.
I look at right tackle, and I say – we talked about the needs and ranking the needs yesterday, and we all had tight end and right tackle in our top one and two spots with
right.
Johnny O in with us. And I look at it as, at tight end, I think they have enough in place that I would expect average. I would expect NFL average out of the tight end position in Jacksonville this year. And I think you can get away with average at the tight end position more easily than you can at right tackle. I honestly think you can. And I look at right tackle, and I'm hoping they can get average out of what they have available to them
right.
at right tackle. Right? It's like, just somebody get in there and show that they can do this for us.
Competently, you know, like, not be a turnstile.
Yeah, that idea. I think at tight end, you can get away with it a whole lot more easily than you can playing somewhere along the offensive line where you'll get exposed play after play after play.
All right, let me go through the top 10 here for you. Devin White, we told you, is number one. Devin Bush, the other inside linebacker, is number two. They're really the only first-round graded linebackers in the draft. 57% Pro Bowl chance in his first 3 years, 86% starting caliber chance for Devin Bush. Dexter Lawrence out of Clemson is number three, right?
Interesting.
53 and 82 are his percentages. And then we had Andre Dillard. Noah Fant is five ahead of Hockenson, but that makes total sense to me.
He's a move guy.
How do you make the Pro Bowl?
Yeah.
Stats, right? At that position, you got to put up numbers. Noah Fant is more likely to put up big-time receiving numbers than Hockenson, because that's his role. That's purely his role. You know, I was really surprised. Tony Boselli said yesterday, you know, the complete guy is Fant. He's the guy who will move you in the run game. I'm like, are you getting him confused with Hockenson? Because everything everybody says watching Iowa is that Fant's basically a big wide receiver, mm-hmm. is what he is. He's a wide receiver in a tight end's body, but he's not really physical in the run game, at least not anywhere close to Hockenson. Fant is coming in at fifth. Nick Bosa, Chris Lindstrom, the guard out of Boston College. You know, often interior linemen are seen as safe picks, mm-hmm. right? 45 and 76 are his percent chances for the Pro Bowl and to be a starting caliber player. Garrett Bradbury, who is seen as the cleanest center prospect in the draft out of NC State, is next. Then Hockenson is the ninth guy. So it's not like Hockenson's way down this list here. You know, and if it depends on what you're looking for your offense. And rounding out the top 10 is Marquise Brown out of Oklahoma.
He's got that big time playmaking. Starting caliber.
I don't know. I really don't. Because, I mean, if you can't tell me that Devin White, you tell me starting Devin White, you can't have any more confidence in any of these players in the entire draft higher than 90% that in the first 3 years of their career, they'll be a starting caliber player? What are we doing?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, like, I understand the war stat in baseball, and I understand what it's trying to tell me, right? Is there some equivalent in football that I'm just unaware of? What does it mean, starting caliber? Like, who are you comparing him to?
I don't know. I'm sure I could get a little bit deep. I literally saw this right before we came back, and they go. You can go through the full methodology. They've got a whole separate link to their methodology of how they project guys. It's a little too much for sports radio, right? You know, it's weeds to dig
in. But I'm super into the idea of analytics trying to come into football and what means what, right? And the idea of there being a replacement-level player playing offensive line in the league, what does that look like? What does that mean? Like, right. I'm just curious as to what it means.
Right. Their methodology ranks guys as Pro Bowl caliber consistent starter, which I guess would be that second ranking,
yeah.
Consistent starter, reserve or special teamer, replacement level or non-factor. Those are the five categories that you could possibly end up in.
Okay.
Two prospects who might be overrated, they say, based on the system, Jonah Williams and Josh Jacobs, both Alabama players. Pro Bowl caliber chance for Jonah Williams, 15%, 24% for Jacobs. But again, it's a stats-driven position. Some other names of note outside the top 10, Rashawn Gary.
Okay.
I'm not going to give you all the numbers. DK Metcalf, which is, that's surprising to me, right? I mean, isn't that a gamble? DK Metcalf? I get the measurables. Josh Allen, the pass rusher from Kentucky, Quinnen Williams, we mentioned Marvell Tell III, Tony, USC safety. Has a 38% chance to be a Pro Bowl player. Michael Jordan, everybody.
Hey.
Come on down, Big Mike. The Ohio State center is next. It's interesting, right?
It's interesting,
Some of these names ahead of some of the bigger names that are being consistently mocked in the top 10. Ed Oliver comes in next, so he's there. A.J. Brown, wide receiver, another Ole Miss wide receiver. Connor McGovern, a guard out of Penn State. Again, it seems like they have – they feel more comfortable projecting interior offensive linemen. There are a lot of interior offensive linemen on here. Paris Campbell, the Ohio State wide receiver. Vashawn Joseph, is that how you say it, out of Florida? The outside linebacker?
I believe that's correct.
That's pretty high praise, right? That puts him right around the 20th best player, according to this kind of metric. Eric McCoy, a center out of Texas A&M, so another interior defensive or offensive lineman. Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle out of Clemson. Jamel Dean, cornerback out of Auburn, and Greedy Williams, cornerback out of LSU. So the highest chance of any cornerback turning into a consistent player, star player is Jamel Dean.
Okay.
You hear that? Talked about at all?
No.
In
no.
any circle?
And I just pulled the article up, too, to try to take a look at this list. And if you just go by starting caliber chance, right,
uh-huh.
and just start ranking the players, the Jaguars at the seventh pick should be considering Dexter Lawrence and Marquise Brown.
If you just rank it by that metric.
Would be 6 and 7 on that list, yeah.
There you go.
There you go.
You know, and look, it's just another.
If it went in order of starting caliber
right.
chance.
Right, because right. all that order I gave you was in Pro Bowl
yeah.
chance in the first 3 years. Starting caliber chance does not correspond directly
no.
with that same list. So just interesting, different way to look at some sure. of these prospects. But boy, based on this, if they're right.
Starting okay, caliber should be Chris Lindstrom.
If they are right in their assessment in this, who is the best pick for the Jacksonville Jaguars? I think it's pretty easy.
Andre Dillard.
It's got to be Andre Dillard,
yeah.
right? I mean, by a mile, doesn't it have to be Andre Dillard?
Yeah.
It seems like it, you know? I mean, considering need, positional value, overall value of the player,
yeah,
it would seem like a slam dunk that
and
Andre Dillard.
By whatever their metric is, he's the player with the highest starting caliber chance.
92, he is, right? Even higher than Devin White, excuse
yeah.
me. 92% chance that he's at least a starting caliber guy. Fourth best chance to be a Pro Bowl level guy. Tied with Noah Fant in that metric. Position of need, you could argue. Look, get a tackle at either spot and we'll make it work, right?
Absolutely.
Upgrade at one spot and we can hopefully make it work. In fact, I think they'd be better. If you really feel that strongly about Andre Dillard, wouldn't that be the better play? Get the high caliber left tackle.
Yes.
I mean, Cam has been okay in what are the chances Cam Robinson's a Pro Bowl caliber tackle in the next few years, especially coming off ACL? Put him in the mix with a bunch of guys. He should emerge out of the mix.
Absolutely, yeah. Nothing wrong with competition.
Very interesting. Very interesting. All right, we'll step aside, come back. 641-1010, you want to weigh in on that or anything else? Our buddy Gil Brandt over at NFL.com has his top 150 composite rankings out. We'll see how much they match up with the consensus that's out there and for the Jags' needs as well. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, 641-1010, if you want to get on board, talk a little Jaguar football or anything affecting the Jacksonville Jaguars, the question of the day out there, and we've got a bunch of them that have come in already, a bunch of replies. If you could ask a question today, of Doug Marrone, Nick Foles, or Calais Campbell, what would that question be, and which one of the three would you address it to? If you want to submit a question for each, that's fine as well. We'll run through some of these and tell you how we think they might answer them if they were being brutally honest, right? Because, again, one of the ones that we got in, hey, Nick, who do you want the Jags to draft most? From Sad Jags Fan on Twitter. I'd ask Foles, what player you'd want the Jags to draft the most? My guess is his answer would be, A, that's above my pay grade. B, I think I trust the front office to bring us the best, you know, give you all the coach speak stuff. And his heart of hearts, he'd be going, tight end, wide receiver, offensive line. One of those, that's where it would come from, right? I don't know what's more important. I think the offensive line's more important because if you don't have the time, look, if you have enough time, you can make a lot of receivers, I think, look pretty solid.
Sure.
You don't have time. If you have the worst offensive line in the league, how good is Antonio Brown? If your quarterback doesn't have time to get him the ball, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is. Probably better than most would be in that same circumstance, but I would think Foles would want right now Andre Dillard, based on our last 10 minutes of conversation here on the program. 641-1010. Let's go to the west side and say hello to Gary this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning. Good morning. I just feel like the Jaguars are going to be content with the right tackles that they have in camp, and I just think they're going to surround Foles with more skill players.
So you think they're going to be content at both tackle positions then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
They might be. I don't see them adding. I think they'll add a tight end in this draft. I think I could easily see them not drafting a wide receiver at all.
Yeah.
At all in the draft, you know, and would you be content? Matt, what happened last year? What caused the greatest setbacks for this football team?
It was offensive line.
Right. I mean, just and look, can you expect to have the same wave of injuries? Like, they got hit at one specific left tackle. It was just one after another, to where they're going out on the street and signing guys and plugging them in a week later and playing them.
Yeah.
Do they need better skill position guys? You need better everything, right? I mean, you always could use some better everything practically, but I don't think, and we talked about this, Tony, I don't know if you look at, particularly if you just look at, if you isolate the tackle positions and you compare it to saying Dede Westbrook, Marquise Lee, who we saw yesterday leaving, looks in great spirits, walking around pretty well. He had sweats on, didn't look like he was wearing any kind of brace, but who knows, maybe he had a sleeve on his knee, anything like that. We ran into Marquise, we talked to him for 15 seconds, so it's not like we grilled him. But he's like, yeah, knee feels good, you know, so we'll see. You got Marquise Lee, Dede Westbrook, you added Chris Connolly. You better get something out of DJ Chark.
Mm-hmm.
And then who knows, Keelan Cole, Jadon Mickens. I'm not saying they couldn't stand for an upgrade over that. They certainly could, but that's not where the value is in this draft, it doesn't appear.
No, and it's certainly not, generally speaking, the value of picking seven in the NFL draft.
No.
Like, the value of picking seven in the NFL draft generally is going to be along the offensive or defensive line, because it's hard to find big people that can play football at an NFL. It's just hard to find them.
What
big bodies
Tom
are hard.
Like drafting?
Big guys.
People,
big
people, right?
It's hard to find them. And they're picking seventh in a draft where they're saying the most of the talent at that spot is going to be along the defensive line. So if that's where the talent is, people that keep saying they need to bring in a skill position guy, I don't see it. Not that they don't need to add a tight end. Not that they couldn't stand to add a wide receiver.
I can see if they fell in love with Hockenson's, you know, complete package tight end. Okay?
I guess.
And in their mind's eye, they saw him as their Zach Ertz, but... Like Zach Ertz and most of these great tight ends in the league, most of them aren't first-round picks.
No.
They're just not. That doesn't mean, you know, that you can just say, hey, I can wait till round three and find me a Travis Kelce or whatever. It doesn't work like that either.
No.
It's not that simple, or George Kittle or whoever you want to point to right now.
It is interesting. I was looking at this last week. The year that Philadelphia took Zach Ertz in the second round.
Right.
He was a second-round pick. You know who they took in the first?
Who?
Lane Johnson.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, they're right tech because they were picking in the top five, and that's where the value. And that was when that draft where Luke Jokel went to, right? Like, there was, it wasn't like a top heavy draft,
right?
Even it was just like, we're picking in the top 10, we're picking a big guy.
Oh, how much better would that pick have been, Lane Johnson?
Oh my gosh,
come on, what are we doing here?
Yeah,
it's unbelievable. Let's get Steve in Ponte Vedra up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Steve. We got Steve.
Yeah, he's up. I can hear the echo there.
Nope, no Steve. All right, let's put him back on hold.
I don't know where he went.
Let's try Mark in Murray Hill up next on Jaguars Today. Hello, Mark.
Hey, guys. I think the argument could be made that the Jaguar front office is more enamored when it comes to draft picks with the physical capabilities or possibilities of these players than they are the emotional / intelligence of the players. In other words, I don't know if they're doing their due diligence when they draft. And if you go back, Fowler is one good example. I mean, I don't have to chronicle his escapades. Leonard Fournette turned out to be, you know, it's kind of turned out to be a head case, you know. And even Jalen Ramsey, who I think is the best corner in the league, there's really only one receiver he has trouble covering, as far as I can tell, and that's Hopkins. But he's great talent, but he's also kind of a, you know,
would you like someone else over Jalen Ramsey from that draft?
No, but I'm just trying to make the point that
I know, but I'm just coming back at you and saying, look, if you're going to say that maybe they need to look at this and factor it in, if you're going to use Jalen as an example, I mean, look, you can make the case. Look, and by the way, the maturity and intelligence, completely different things. I'm not comfortable talking. I don't know. I've never given Leonard Fournette an IQ test. I have no idea what his IQ is. I know.
How did he do on the Wonderlic? Does anyone know?
I don't know. And
I don't know how,
you know,
seriously anyone takes a Wonderlic.
I don't know if anybody takes a Wonderlic very seriously, particularly at the running back position. I mean, look, I appreciate it, Mark. Certainly, there's, you know, you want a guy who's got all the traits, who apparently has the football character of a Devin White, right? Mm-hmm. LSU, which is off the charts, is what they say, at a highly valued position that happens to be a position of need. Line all those up, please, every year, and just draft that, okay?
Yeah.
We'd all like that.
Yeah,
you know?
It would be nice.
And, I mean, look, I get it. In you know, Dante Fowler, big immaturity issues. Dante's a super smart guy. I mean, Tony and I have talked to Dante plenty of times. I don't think Dante, you know, I haven't nearly interacted with Leonard Fournette as much as I ever did with Dante Fowler Jr.
No.
But I'll tell you this, in my opinion, I think Dante's certainly an intelligent guy, made a lot of immature decisions. You know,
sure.
I think they talk about a lot of people in a lot of walks of life that fit that way. So do you need, you know, Gene Smith was the opposite end. Gene Smith was all about, let's draft as many guys who are captains of their football team.
Captain, yeehaw! Yeah.
And they can't play a lick.
Couldn't play.
I mean, you can't play. So, and then he deviated from that with Justin Blackman. Poor Gene.
One time.
Just
one time he deviates from his formula.
Are they any better than any of the other picks he made? That didn't really matter. You know, I mean, so that's great. Hey, we wore the letter sweater. Hey, we're Mr. Team Captain.
And I think it goes back to the whole Fournette thing. And I get it. Like, I understand why fans have reacted to what happened at the end of last week the way that they have. I totally understand it, right? If Leonard Fournette was running for 1,500 yards, then this kind of thing, you'd be like, could you cut it out so we don't have to deal with it? Like, that would be the idea. It would be like, just stop. Like we know what we're getting from you. Cut it out. Like, just grow up a little bit, as opposed to he needs to grow up or he's going to find himself not playing in the league. And that's where the discussion is right now with Leonard Fournette, because he's not doing what you expect a pick in the top five to do. You think Dallas hadn't had to deal with immaturity issues with Ezekiel Elliott?
Right!
But they don't care.
He's a Pro Bowl caliber player.
Right, they don't care because they're having to figure out what to do with his next contract.
If he produces, it washes away
most
of the other things that come along with it.
Absolutely.
It's the fact that it matters. So I'm very uncomfortable getting this
Immaturity
versus
thing.
Intelligence. Yeah. You don't know how smart any of these guys are. I'm betting that Mark hasn't talked to any of these people individually to make even that base an assessment on it. So, you know, that to me is...
That's a slippery one.
That's not territory. Look, honestly, you got to be able to understand the playbook, right? Beyond that, they're all range. There are guys who are literally, you know, Rhodes Scholar or near Rhodes Scholar levels of intellect that have played in the NFL, and there are guys that have been dumb as a brick that have succeeded on the whole spectrum, right? The good, the bad. You want it all. If it were that easy, they wouldn't call the draft a crapshoot. How many of those guys can you find at premier positions that happen to be a position of need, that have the football character, that have the intelligence, the emotional maturity, the talent, all these things? Great. Draw me up some of those prospects, please.
Yeah.
How many you got? I don't know if you got any, Tony. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't know.
Let's go to Steve in Ponte Vedra. I think we got him back now. Hello, Steve. How are you?
Hey, guys. Sorry about that. I had another call on their line.
All right.
So I wanted to talk about who the Jags need to pick up, if he's available. I know we already have Nick Foles, but I don't want to miss out on an elite quarterback who I saw in high school play 6A ball at Texas, Kyler Murray. If we miss out on him, it's going to be a huge disappointment. You know, we already missed out on the guy from Kansas City. I understand we have Nick Foles for at least a couple years, but if he's there, please get him. That's all I got to say.
All right. Thank you, Steve. I wonder how, you know, if Steve hadn't watched Kyler Murray play 6A football in Texas, if he'd feel the same way. I mean, is it his hands-on scouting that has brought us to this point? Look, I've said that about Haskins all along. The bloom's off Haskins' rose, apparently, in NFL circles, right? And they're
like
yesterday they're going after him on NFL Live, like, this is – why didn't teams attack him more like this? Now it's like a feeding frenzy on Dwayne Haskins because everybody's backpedaling to catch up because apparently the word's getting out that NFL teams don't feel as strongly about Dwayne Haskins as the pundits do, right? So now the pundits are trying to go, oh, well, wait a minute. You know, here are the flaws in Dwayne Haskins' game. Well, where were you on that a month ago?
Right.
Right? Like, at least I appreciate – respect Bucky Brooks – here's my quarterback rankings. Dwayne Haskins, my number one quarterback. It hasn't changed. Why would it change? He hasn't done anything to make it change in that period of time.
No.
Is he right? I don't know. You know, I don't think there's a prayer that they would go that route with Kyler Murray to take a guy who many would consider risky because of the size if he were available at number 7. Look, when you say, you know, they've got a quarterback for the next couple of years, they think they got a quarterback for the next 4 years. In Nick Foles. That's what they feel.
Mm-hmm.
Are they right? Time will tell. You know, if they went that route, bold, right? Do I think it's a must, a necessity? I felt better about Haskins because I really – talk about intelligence. This is a guy that watching him demonstrate his football intelligence and breaking down complex defensive schemes has impressed the hell out of me, right? So that's the assessment. I don't know as much about Kyler Murray. Is Kyler Murray a guy who got by more because – he was throwing a lot to a lot of wide open receivers, which a lot of these guys do at the big programs, by the way. But he was just, you know, too quick and agile for college guys to deal with. Is he going to be able to translate that? I think it's very risky. If they did it bold, I wouldn't knock it. I don't think there's a prayer in hell. I don't think there's a, at this point, I would put it at less than 1% chance that any quarterback would be the pick of the Jacksonville Jaguars at any point in the first round.
Totally with you.
No matter if they trade back five times, I don't think they would take a quarterback in round one.
Yeah, don't see it happening.
Not in the least. So, but you may be right. Maybe that's what they should do, Steve, and we appreciate the call nonetheless.
I'd still take Haskins.
Yeah, I would too.
I just don't think it's going to happen.
Right. So, you know, if you're so, – like now the there's becoming more of a possibility that maybe Kyler Murray does fall, right? At least – and. We say there's more of a possibility.
Who knows?
The feeling is. And who knows about the feeling, right? And that's the thing about this whole process, Tony. Oh, well, Arizona, maybe they're cooling on Kyler Murray. Maybe they're not locked into Kyler Murray. Then you see a report yesterday. Oakland will not take a quarterback in round one. Well, that to me smells like the biggest bunch of go ahead and don't trade up in front of us because we're not going to take a quarterback, right? Yeah. I mean – you can't believe any of this stuff. But
no, the draft is so – the draft is like trying to put together a puzzle blindfolded and the pieces keep changing shape in your hand.
Damn,
like trying to predict it is impossible. It's just not something that you can do. It's a lot of fun to talk about, right? And I enjoy the conversation leading up to it every time. And after we get done with the top 10 picks, you're looking around going, man, whoa. Like every year we're sitting around going, oh,
whoa,
didn't expect that.
Why don't we see that happen?
Yeah, like, of course, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, it's
occasionally
just
you get a year when it goes
about like
by the book,
would,
but
yeah,
not all that often. All right, we'll take a timeout quickly. Come back, more of your calls. This State in Football, the Roland Reich Roll around the National Football League. Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, I got a few birthdays on this date in football history. April 16th throughout the years back to 1928, one of the all-time nicknames. You almost can't say his name without saying his nickname. Dick Night Train Lane, right? Everybody knows Night Train Lane. Passed away in 2002 at the age of 73. In his career in the National Football League, he was a seven-time Pro Bowler, three-time first-team All-Pro, member of the All-1950s squad, 68 interceptions, rank him fourth on the all-time list, and he was a Hall of Fame inductee in 1974. That's a pretty good resume.
Yeah, I think he has the most in a single season with 15.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That is a lot. I know he had five return for touchdowns, which is pretty high in the rankings as well.
We were looking at, I think it was Mel Blunt had a birthday last week, and I was looking at like single seasons in NFL history. I think Dick Night Train Lane was 15 one year.
You got to get 15 somewhere if you're going to get 68 probably.
No doubt.
Steve Entman, Tony, was the first pick in the 1992 NFL draft back when the Colts had the first two selections, like I have in one of my dynasty leagues coming up in a few weeks. But they took Entman and Quentin Coriot back-to-back. Entman played like a half dozen nondescript years in the NFL. Hopefully the Colts make plenty more picks like that. Entman is 49 years old today, and happy 26 to Tevin Coleman. Saw a stat. I can't remember who the other players are. I know Davante Adams has got to be one. I think Antonio Brown is one. But total players in the NFL, very short list of guys who scored at least eight touchdowns the last 3 years running, and Tevin Coleman is one of them. 4 years with the Atlanta Falcons and signed a fairly lucrative by my standards free agent contract. Maybe not by Le'Veon Bell's standards, but a nice deal to play running back for the 49ers. Tevin Coleman is 26 years old today. That's what we have for you on this date in football history.
Now, let's roll around the NFL with Roland Reich Plumbing, where quality and experience count.
The NFL has announced that their regular season schedule will be released tomorrow night at 8 p.m. NFL Network, I'm sure, will be doing their now yearly show around the NFL schedule release. But again, that'll be tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. We'll know where the Jags go and when in this upcoming 2019 NFL season. The Seattle Seahawks and quarterback Russell Wilson have agreed to a four-year, $140 million extension with $65 million to sign and $107 million total guaranteed. The deal means that Wilson is under contract with the Seahawks for 5 years and $157 million, which is $31.4 million a year. The deal includes a no-trade clause and $5 million in roster bonuses in each of his final two seasons of that deal. The LA Rams running back Todd Gurley was in the building for the start of the team's offseason program yesterday. That would mark the first opportunity for anyone to ask him about where the health of his knee is following the team's Super Bowl loss, and talk about potential arthritis has been at least a discussion point this offseason in that knee. When asked to confirm or deny reports about a potential degenerative knee condition, Gurley said, quote, "I mean, all I can focus on is how I'm doing right now, feeling pretty good, like I said, taking it day by day and just trying to get better, get ready for next season." As many would note, that's not a no. I don't have a degenerative knee issue. And now Oakland Raiders wide receiver Antonio Brown has settled two lawsuits, the lawsuits stemming from a string of incidents at a condo he was renting in South Florida last October. No details on the settlement have been made. He apparently was throwing stuff off a balcony. There was a woman that was downstairs with her two-year-old who, whatever he was throwing, the vases and everything were allegedly landing near the child, who is still distraught
from
the experience. So he's got that and having to deal with the actual owner of the property, who said he destroyed a bunch of stuff, which wouldn't seem to be hard to prove if it's out on the lawn, broken. Well, when he shows up,
you take an example of that. You take the way he is clowned. He was able to clown himself out of Pittsburgh, right? Intentionally.
Yeah.
I would say just based on the evidence that he has put forth, you can make a judgment about his emotional maturity and character. Anybody not want Antonio Brown on your football team, right? I mean, I know there's some that would say he'd tear apart the locker room. Okay, maybe he would. Maybe, like, and you can get into, there are a lot of other factors, but you know, somebody on the text line, look, you're entitled to your opinion. I agree with the last caller. Jags have a lot of, as he put it, football dumb players. I really don't know if he means dumb football players or people that are dumb in a football sense. Okay, but I'll consider it dumb football players as of on the field. He's talking about like their football intelligence, a lot of God-given talent, but I feel maybe three guys on our team would be able to play for New England. Bill wants intelligence overall. Okay. Are you freaking crazy? So who are the three? Who are the maybe three? Maybe three.
Apparently one of them, maybe it was four last year, and Austin Seferian Jenkins is on that list.
Because he's there, right? Austin Seferian Jenkins just got signed by them, so he must have been one of the smartest guys that the Jags had on the roster, right? Who had a history of run-ins with the law in his past as well. So does that make him dumb or does that make him bad character? I don't know. But you're right. He must have been brilliant. I guess Calais Campbell might be one of the three, I would hope, right?
He's certainly one of their best players.
You think Bill wouldn't want Jalen Ramsey on his team?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, so I guess that maybe that's two. Now, I get it that Tom Brady's a quarterback. Tell me Nick Foles isn't smart enough to play for Bill Belichick? I doubt that. A.J. Boye? Really? You don't think he could play for the Patriots? You don't think Yannick Ngakoue could play for the Patriots?
Come on.
You don't think Andrew Norwell and Brandon Leonard could play for the Patriots?
Come on.
I mean, this is ridiculous.
You can say that Bill Belichick values intelligence from his players without making it ridiculous the way that
right did. Maybe three guys.
Yeah,
I mean, do you even consider yourself a Jaguar fan when you make a statement like that, or do you just are you hate watching them, or what exactly is going on with that? I don't understand. Look, it frustrates me when guys do knuckleheaded things that cost them, and Leonard Fournette has done that, and maybe Leonard Fournette is in that category that he has shown he doesn't have the emotional maturity that he could play for a Bill Belichick team. Right, he almost didn't have enough to stay here in Jacksonville, but regardless. You know, so I'm not saying 100% across the board that I bet if you went to New England's locker, you'd find a guy or two who has, who, by the way, his talent over the years has trumped. Is Gronk mature? I guess if you're talking about on the field stuff, he has good football intelligence. There's no question about that, right?
Sure.
He's a guy, I don't know if Gronk's mature. I just think this whole intelligence thing really makes my skin crawl.
Ocho
Cinco. There you go.
Him, yeah.
You know, I mean, talented guy. You know, did again. Randy Moss, was he emotionally mature? Quit on the Raiders, right? Go through the litany of things. Randy went up there. Great football player. We'll take that talent. We'll take a chance on him. I mean, I just think that's crazy. Most people, I'm guessing, who are trying to judge the intelligence of these players have never talked to these players in person. Now, you can make your judgment based on if there's a widespread rash of knuckleheaded things going on in the field. And there have been some knuckleheaded things. Mm-hmm. There's no question about that.
Sure.
Right? And I'm not saying that it's 100% that the Jags are a bunch of brilliant choir boys. No, not at all. But to say maybe three players on this team are smart enough to play for Bill, who our texter is on a first-name basis with up there, man, unbelievable. That's funny. Can you say?
Yeah, I don't know.
Can you say that word?
I don't know.
Right? That's borderline, isn't it, on the text line?
I have to check down the hall on that one.
Didn't the Patriots sign an emotionally immature wide receiver last year? Who would that have been? Cordarrelle Patterson?
Josh Gordon.
Oh, yeah. Josh Gordon.
Yeah.
There you go. Why'd they sign him, Tony?
Because he can play.
Talent. Talent.
That boy got game.
He's got game. And guess what? If he didn't get in trouble again, he'd still be on that roster, right? And in fact, he is still on that roster right now.
And by the way, Jacksonville hasn't had the luxury of having one of the all-time player erasers from that kind of thing of all in Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I mean,
you must have to be brilliant to catch that ball that's thrown right to your chest, you know?
And I'm not saying that, look, Belichick has made a career out of taking guys as role players and putting them in the best position to succeed. Wouldn't argue that for a moment, that he's been willing to walk away from players. He's clearly willing to do those kind of things. But if you think he doesn't take, like, some risk with some of these guys that he brings in, they're able to overcome it because Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are able to overcome it when they mess up on those kind of decisions. They're good enough to get over it, especially with it's as weak as it's ever been in the history of the league, what's been going on in the AFC East for 20 years.
Wait, Jalen, yes. Calais, yes. I guess this is in response. The rest are maybes.
Oh,
Unique,
stop
wait,
it.
Well, listen. Unique, hell no. They got rid of a better Unique to the Cardinals. Are you telling me that Chandler Jones was a maturity issue? Chandler Jones wanted a bunch of money is what he wanted, and they make judgments on how much money they want to sink into certain guys. Chandler Jones has gone on to be an all-pro since he left New England. So they drafted him. Were they stupid when they drafted him? Was Bill Belichick temporarily stupid when he drafted Chandler Jones?
Right.
Because why would he bring in Chandler Jones? Did he not do his due diligence, Tony, on these players' emotional and intellectual maturity? I mean, honestly, I'll just put it out there. When I hear people question intellect, it makes me wonder what your real motivation is. It really does. I don't know. It's going to leave it at that. You can figure out for yourself what I might be thinking. Let's leave it vague for now, so I don't have to call it like I see it here and put a name on you, because I don't know you personally, much like you don't know these players personally. So you want to judge their intellect. I'm going to try not to judge your character by character assassination that you're performing on some of the players that Tony and I have a lot more experience interacting with on a one-to-one basis than you ever will in your life. So let's just turn the page. 641-1010. Phone lines loaded up. We'll get to you next. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Damn, Tony, I just wish one thing. We had the foresight to draft a guy with the character and intelligence of Aaron Hernandez. I mean, damn! Drop the mic, whoever texted that one in. Drop the freaking mic on that one. Bill Belichick, you freaking genius, you. You know, way to draft a would-be murderer. Maybe a guy who was already a multiple murderer
right
by the time that you drafted him.
I mean, do people not praise Belichick enough? Is that the way that people feel?
Only two or three guys on this roster could play for
great.
Him. Unbelievable.
But the idea that only three guys on any other NFL roster in the league could play on that team, you're completely like.
I guess Nick Foles is one of them because he whipped that Patriot ass, didn't he?
I mean, that's an insane take.
Oh,
it's an insane
God.
Take,
Let's
and you
on.
Should get pushed back on
Honestly,
that.
Honestly, I mean, I just think I know where it stems from, but I'm not going to say because I don't know the person to. I can't judge your heart. Okay, much like you can't judge a lot of other things.
You think there are more people available in this NFL draft that are ready to play for the New England Patriots than on another NFL roster? Like, they're going to draft nine of them. You think those nine are more qualified than
anybody
else?
They're more qualified than anyone in the Jags have other than Calais and Ramsey.
That is insanely stupid.
Hell yeah!
Let's go to Greg and Fernandina and turn the page here. I know I said I would turn the page and I went right back to it, but my nature. 641-1010. Greg, hello. Good morning. You're on Jaguars Today.
Hey, good morning, guys. Loving the discussion today. I just want to drop a couple comments. And first on the immaturity factor, I think the franchise culture, the leadership, and veterans in the locker room have just as much responsibility to help kind of grow these young men into mature, you know, adults once they get into the program or get on the team there. Related to comments about Kyler Murray, I'm an Oklahoma fan, but the reason I'm going to pass on Kyler Murray is, one, not just because of his size, but more his lack of in-game experience. This last season, there was a lot of times we wasted timeouts to avoid delay of game penalties. You hear the combine, he didn't do good on the whiteboard. So for the Jags, I think you focus on keeping Foles upright, maybe create a little more running room for Fournette, and maybe that success gives Fournette a little bit more maturity.
Thank you. That's an interesting take. Look, guys can have – you can look at a guy can have different levels of football intelligence, mm-hmm. right? We get it. And I am impressed. That's one of the reasons I'm on the Dwayne Haskins bandwagon, is because the way he sees the field. And from my look, I haven't spent a second with Dwayne Haskins, right? No. And I'm basing this off of interviews with his head coach where he had shown here's examples of Haskins going through multiple progressions. I haven't watched enough Kyler Murray. I don't know if he's as good. I didn't hear that he was terrible on the whiteboard, though. Do you recall that?
No.
I heard that Haskins basically was very impressive in that setting. I don't recall. Look, whether Kyler Murray's the right fit for the Jags, I think, is a kind of a moot point, and I think reasonable people can agree and disagree and be on both sides. As we were talking about Dwayne Haskins, Tony, as the perception of his stock seems to be falling. Person texting, Dwayne Haskins is going to be a stud. That's where I've been. Maybe I'm wrong, and I'm okay if I'm wrong about it, right? Like, I'm basing it on the input that I have. I look at Dwayne Haskins. If I had the opportunity, I think he can turn into a really outstanding pocket passer in the National Football League. I say pocket passer because not much on the foot speed department, right? Nope. I don't know how much, do you need foot speed? You need pocket maneuverability,
yes,
is what you need. You need the ability to slide and make guys miss. Kyler Murray's got maneuverability in spades. I don't know. He's going to be fascinating to watch. It won't be
I'd be
here.
Happy with either one of them.
I know, like, you would.
I'd be happy with either one of them, and they're not going to pick either of them.
My offseason wish list was Haskins, Foles, Murray in that order. I think you were Haskins, Murray, Foles in that order. Look, in the end, I'm not upset that Nick Foles is here.
Me either.
And when you look at some of the alternatives that are out there and all the questions that are being raised about this rookie quarterback class, look, you could probably find a ton of Sooner fans that would love to have Kyler Murray here, obviously, mm-hmm. right? Or would do nothing but praise him. I respect Greg for being a Sooner fan, saying I don't think he'd be a good fit. I don't know. I don't know how good he is diagnosing plays and things like that. I think what you feel with a guy like that is, even if he has some catching up to do to the likes of the top guys at the position, be it Haskins or whoever else, that his escapability closes the gap and gives him time. It gives him time to make up for. Now, look, if you get them both and you got good character and you got the maneuverability and you got good pocket passing skills and leadership, you know what you get? You get $35 million a year. You get Russell Wilson.
Yes, you do.
That's what you get. Let's go to Dan out in Fleming Island. Hello, Dan. You're on Jaguars Today. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey, first of all, I would not draft Haskins, and I'm not going to say that because I don't think – if we're going to draft Foles, we should go with Haskins. But I don't remember. You guys probably watched it. When he did that, he was with one of the former coaches that are talking heads now. And that coach went over on the whiteboard and went over all these plays using his terminology and then had Haskins repeat it. And he not only repeated it, but he showed every route that receiver was going to run. I mean, I found that maybe all these quarterbacks can do that. But I watched him do that. I'm like, this guy's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, go. I'm sorry, Dan. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. I'm just saying, if he has the skill to go along, and I hate to use the word intellect after your rant.
Right. You know what I'm saying.
If he has
right.
the skill to go along with that intellect, he's going to be freaking amazing.
Right. And that's the thing that really, at a quarterback position, you can get by with a guy. There are traditionally – Travis Henry gave me probably the worst interview I've ever had. Came off as maybe the dumbest guy I've ever interviewed, okay?
Yeah.
Said this for years. It was live on the air for all to hear, right? Not impressive at all. That's probably why he, as far as I know, is still in some maximum security lockup. Did that mean he couldn't be an effective running back, right? There are different requirements at different positions.
Sure.
At the quarterback position, you have to be able to have football intelligence to diagnose plays, to diagnose defenses, to see guys open before they're open, and then have the ability to actually throw them open. You know what I mean? Like, to anticipate where routes are going to go, things like that. And that's what I get off of Dwayne Haskins, listening to him, talking to people that have dealt with him. Then you put the numbers, 50 touchdowns up on the board. Yes, he's a one-year starter. So is Mitchell Trubisky, right? Went second overall in the draft.
Sure.
I mean, great. Mitchell Trubisky does have the added mobility. But, I mean, what do they praise Tom Brady for? What do they praise him for? It's his ability to diagnose. Oh, they praise him for a lot of things. But his ability to diagnose plays before they even happen, right? Before the snap even happens, he's eliminated half the problems on the field, right? I'm not going to have to worry about this, this, or this. This is what I'm going to have to worry about here. I've narrowed it down to these two quick reads. Boom. And he sees it and processes it so quickly. That, to me, seems like the kind of quarterback Haskins could develop into. And
absolutely,
is it a guarantee? Of course not.
No.
But how often do you get a chance to take a guy like that right out of college?
Yeah, if it was a guarantee, people probably wouldn't be talking about Dwayne Haskins the way they're talking about Dwayne Haskins.
All right, he'd be the number one overall lock, and he still may be.
Yeah, we just don't know, you know, what Arizona's thinking about any of these prospects. But, yeah, yes, Haskins. I'd be all on board with it for all the reasons that Dan, our caller, and you were just talking. Yes. Like, from the moment that you saw him breaking down that kind of stuff, you're like, I want that.
Honestly, don't you feel like we're like stuck in like late February right now? We're back. I'm not faulting it. This is the process, right? It goes in waves, and we're back to today. It just, could they actually take a quarterback, or should they take a quarterback? They're just not going to.
They're not going
to. And look, we can debate whether they should or not, but in the end, you know, and we go back to the Roethlisberger thing. Roethlisberger had questions coming out. You know, the level
Absolutely.
Of competition being primary among them. You know, because I heard Dan and Jeff mention that this morning. You had drafted Byron 1 year, and Roethlisberger was there for you the next year. What would the history have been like? You want to talk about knuckleheads, by the way. There's a knucklehead for you. But when it comes to playing football, he's a good football player. Look, I get there is a difference between just being a smart person and also the immature. If you want to talk about emotional immaturity, and you want to talk about a guy or players who get too many personal fouls or walk the line of braggadocio to the point it hurts their team on the field, that to me is a separate entity from intelligence, right? And if you want to consider that to be football intelligence, I guarantee you there's some personal fouls that have been collected by New England Patriots in the Bill Belichick tenure, and those guys were not immediately cut at halftime. You know,
Rob Gronkowski had one where he assaulted a guy from behind on the field 2 years ago.
Right. It got suspended.
Got suspended.
So, you know.
It happens.
Right. So, again, just this roster. Put all the words, coded or otherwise, out of the conversation, to think there are only three, as many, up to three, only up to three guys on this team that could play for New England is just ludicrous. It's really, you know, I wonder how much football that you've watched in your life. Look, let's do this. Let's take I guess we're about on time here for a timeout. We got a lot of questions that got sent in. We asked people today if you could ask a question of Doug Marrone, Nick Foles, or Calais Campbell. Those are the three the Jags will make available to the media today. Who would you ask, and what would that question be? We'll run through some of them and maybe try to figure out what they'd say if they're being 100% brutally honest, Tony. So we'll get to that. And yes, I do believe that they're not always brutally honest. I think sometimes you put things in politically correct form out there.
Sure.
Rarely do you have a player go out and tell you who they want the team to draft, right? They just don't want to walk into that whole mess. Just makes for a – imagine if you said, I think they should draft this lineman, and they take another one, right? Then immediately walking in the locker room. You got a buddy, don't you? No, you don't. All right, 641-1010. If you want to get in before we get out of here today, that's the way to do it, on the phone lines or the text line driven by Duval Ford. We'll come back, take a look at the question of the day. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Just to briefly continue the theme, Tony.
Uh-huh.
The recycling bin to my right.
Yeah.
Loaded with what?
Garbage.
Mostly trash, yeah. Right?
I don't think that, I don't think all that's recyclable.
Okay, I'm pretty sure it's not. The empty garbage can to the immediate right of that can stands empty.
Pretty much.
If you want to question the game day intelligence of the 1010XL broadcast crew, I'll jump on board that one, okay? Where the hell's been in this studio? Cannot read.
Yeah, that's
Or just does not care.
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. It's disrespectful is what it is. All right, let's get this.
Slow, disrespectful.
Thank you. Thank you. I was quicker than you on that one, E. All right, let's look at some questions people would like. I've had it. All right. Questions people would like answered from the trio of Doug Marrone, Nick Foles, Calais Campbell. Samuel on Twitter. Sam, I am sheer 13. I'd ask Foles, what can we expect out of the season? That's a pretty broad question right there. I mean, he doesn't have a crystal ball. He can't know how it's going to go, but let you play the role of Nick Foles on this one. Nick, what can we expect out of this season? Being as honest as you possibly can be, what would you say?
As honest as I can
be. Yes. I mean, without shooting the guy down, trying to answer the question to the best of your ability, knowing that you can't give him the record. You can't say 12-4. Well, how would you answer that?
We want to go win. And we want to win big.
And
that's the idea.
I would think he'd say I'm committed to we want to be a cohesive unit. Right, that goes all in on winning, and I'm going to control what I can control, which is trying to lead by example in that department and becoming a leader of, trying to take this team where it needs to go. I knew these are kind of broad generalizations. I think that's a tough question to answer. What can we expect out of the season? Anyway, let's move on to the next one. To Doug Marrone. This is from Tommy Boy in Florida. How long is the leash on 3-point Fournette? It's pretty good. Nickname, even though he's 3.3 net, wasn't he?
Yeah,
last year,
whatever it was.
I think this is a case I'll play Doug Marrone here. This is up to Leonard Fournette, right? Will Leonard Fournette do the things to keep himself, on in our good graces in terms of exhibiting emotional maturity, right? Mm-hmm. And just maturity overall and decision making. And will he be healthy? Will he be available?
Sure.
I would hope
that if Marrone is asked that today, that he just echoes what Tom Coughlin said, right? Just and almost say it exactly the way Tom Coughlin said it. Look, if he's here and he's doing the right things, we're confident in Leonard Fournette.
Right. And I think there's a gulf in talent. And granted, I get it. The numbers speak. 3.3 yards a carry, 3.9 yards a carry. I will take Leonard Fournette's talent over anyone currently on this roster at the running back position by a wide margin.
Mm-hmm.
I will. That's why it's frustrating that his lack of availability, sometimes due to his own fault, sometimes not. Let's see. My question is for Dave Caldwell, says Mary, our good friend Mary C Squared. When will you be offering Unique Ngakoue a hefty long-term contract? I'm sure you can creatively make some cap room as he deserves one now, not later. That's an editorial, Mary, but
yes,
the question to you, Tony Smith, playing Dave Caldwell, when will you be offering Unique Ngakoue a hefty long-term contract?
You know, we want to keep Leonard. We want Jan to be playing for the Jacksonville Jaguars for the rest of his career. You know,
if he's being 100% honest, though, give me a timeline. What do you think in his heart of hearts? And you can't know, but what's your guess?
My guess is they'd like to get something done before in training camp or before.
Prior to the start of the season.
Yes.
Right. I would think so, right? You go into the season, man. Unique Ngakoue starts smelling franchise tag,
see that horizon.
You know, I don't. I think he's going to be a highly. If he were to get to free agency next year, might be a top 3 to 5 player out there because you don't find elite pass rush, and that is what he is potentially. When you look at what he's done in the sack department and the quarterback hit department combined, creating turnovers, not as many last year as the year before. I would agree that hopefully before the start of the season would be the heart of heart answer. Let's see, for Calais Campbell. I'll answer this one. How much of last year's collapse was on player performance and player attitude? Was there a locker room dissent because of either? I would think, if you're being brutally honest here, that there had some of the attitude, whether it was we got this kind of thing. You know, I know they said a lot of the right things, but did they really, did they show up thinking that they were there already, that they had arrived? As the season went on and you had guys doing dumb things, I think it did affect the locker room. So I think I can't give you a percentage, you know, how much of last year's was on player performance, how much was on attitude, how much was on injury as well is another factor in there. But let's put this way. I would think, and I can't speak for Clay, but I'm trying to, that it would be greater than 0% on the locker room environment being a negative for this football team, right? So
sure.
All right, here we go. This one's for Coach. Tony Smith got it from Swim Coach Coffee. Coach, what needs to be done to get the best five guys together for the offensive line unit and have them keep Foles upright during the season?
You know, we're hoping to get Cam back, and we're feeling pretty good about Cam getting back in there. And we, from left guard to right guard, we don't have any questions. We bring A.J. back. We love A.J. We're happy to have him back. You know, Norwell is a guy that we went and got last year. We feel good about Linder. There's a lot of guys in there for right tackle. That's not necessarily a bad thing. Competition isn't a bad thing. And, you know, right now we'll get out there and the best man for the job is going to win the job.
And I think if he's being honest, he's going to say, you know, we're on the lie detector now. You know, we're going to add some guys to the competition in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. Guard to guard, you know who the starters are, right? And I can't, as Doug Marrone, guarantee that they're going to stay healthy, but I'm going to say that, you know, provided that they do, that's one thing. Can we do anything different to keep them from getting injured? I don't know if we can, right? I don't think they're – Tony, they had great injury success the year before. Did they all of a sudden forget how to get these guys ready to play football? I don't think so, right? Injuries happen. Sometimes they happen in waves at certain positions. I think Cam's going to have to prove it. I think there's some of that Doug Marrone is – being brutally honest, Cam's going to have to prove it. I think we're going to add probably an early draft pick at one of the tackle spots and may the best two guys on the outside battle it out, but we feel pretty confident about the three guys that we have inside. Let's see. All right, this one from BCB Couch. I'd ask Foles if there are similarities in the playbook and scheme he's reviewed here with DeFilippo that they used in Philly. I think that's a slam dunk.
Sure
yes.
There is. Yeah.
Tons of it, I would think, right? Hey, Nick. Even before they hand him the playbook, he flip him and go, he doesn't like this. I know he likes this kind of throw. He likes this kind of play. Mm-hmm. We're going to try to put in some things to get the ball out of his hands quickly because as Chad Kuhn, who is probably our most ardent draft Twitter guy for this program, wouldn't you say out
sure.
there? Right, Chad's always – he tweets us six times a day with his perfect scenarios for every round. And I appreciate it. I'm not knocking him, man. God bless you. You got the time to do that. But as he pointed out today, Nick Foles, exceptionally efficient when he gets the ball out of his hands in less than 2.5 seconds. So give us some of those throws, quick decisions, quick read, boom, stick it, and go.
Yeah, and I think obviously with it being somebody that he's worked with before, there's a whole lot less question about how well he can work with DeFilippo, and there's a whole lot more question about how long does it take to get comfortable with new guys, right? It's less about the system. It's more about you've never thrown to Marquise Lee. You've never thrown to DJ Chark. Like, there's a bunch of guys that you don't have any chemistry with. How long does it take to develop chemistry with these guys before you feel comfortable doing it with them?
I feel pretty confident that there's going to be a lot of similarity. You know, it's still going to be probably a more run-dependent offense, but not what we were led to believe they were pushing for the last couple of years. I think more we've heard the word balance more this mm-hmm. offseason. All right, here's one for Tony, a.k.a. Nick Foles. What kind of player do you want the Jags to draft the most? 100%
honest. 100%
honest.
I want a tackle, probably.
I want an offensive something.
Yeah, offensive something.
I want to get right. I want to be kept upright. That may be job one.
Based on, like, if I had been paying attention to what happened last year, I'd probably be campaigning for an offensive lineman.
Offensive lineman, and then tight end would be high up. Just give me, I mean, if I'm Nick Foles is going to tell you I want the best, you know, we already went through this earlier in the show. He's going to tell you all the right things. I believe Nick would, like any quarterback, give me some toys to play with,
yes,
right?
Please.
Give him some protection and some weapons. This one for Mike Dempsey, Marrone. Our coach, are we still trying to win games 13-10 with a run-based offense and great defense, or will we subscribe to the belief that the best defense is a great offense and allow Foles to do what he does best with an efficient passing game? That's like a lot of layers, but I get what he's saying here. And I think I don't think they ever wanted to grind it out 13-10, by the way. I think they want, ideally, want to play that great defense. They want to be able to run the ball and exert their will in the run game to the point where they could take shots down the field. Now, that was even with Blake here. And I got to believe you just sunk $88 million in the quarterback position. You're not just going to have him be a glorified handoff machine, right?
I wouldn't think so.
So I'm thinking Doug Marrone is saying, yeah, probably. Look, guys, this may come as a surprise to you. We think Nick Foles is better than Blake Bortles. That's why Nick Foles is here and Blake Bortles isn't. If we think the quarterback's better than the last guy, is more accurate, all these other categories you want to check the boxes in, whatever, we're going to put more on his shoulders, yes,
yes,
in the passing game. So I would agree with that. And when the very next one, we just kind of answered, hey bro, talking to Foles, you like handing the ball off? Because we don't pass in our 1940s offense. Let's see, Tony, Doug Marrone. Will DeFilippo's offense offer opponents less incentive to load the box and sell out against the run?
Yeah.
Would hope
sure.
so, right?
Yeah.
I think it's still going to be prove it to me early on.
I would think so, yeah.
But I think they got a better chance of proving it to them.
Yes.
Than they did before.
I think they can throw them out of it more effectively than they've been able to the last couple of years.
Ooh, that's a good one. I'd ask Calais if he thinks we need a defensive end or an offensive tackle more.
Well, no one's blocking him, so...
Right, but I think he'd
probably
say an offensive tackle.
That's what I'm saying. Nobody can block me, so probably an offensive tackle.
Right, but I don't know how many can block him anyway, you know.
And pay Yon.
Let's see. Coach Marrone from Big Will. Will there be more restrictions on corners to freelance in certain coverages this year?
That's restrictions?
That's a good question because, you know, that had been brought up. Like, is Jalen doing his own thing over here sometimes?
Yeah.
And sometimes there had been an allowance to allow that. Will you tighten the reins? And my guess, you tell me what you think is the answer to this, and I'll tell you what I think.
No.
My guess is
would
no as well.
Bottom line answer,
my guess
yeah.
is overall, you know what? We've been pretty damn good on that side of the football. That we've got maybe the best trio of cornerbacks in the National Football League. That even though occasionally it gets disjointed, we're going to let, you know, I don't think we're going to tighten things up anymore. Todd Wash has that side of the ball, you know, when healthy.
Yeah, and it's hard to tell.
Stead.
Like if that question is trying to get at freelance issues or communication issues. You know, like, I think if you were asking about the communication problems they had occasionally on defense, we got to clean that up.
Different story.
Yeah.
Right. Different story. But it just, and like, are you in man or zone? Like, at times, it looked like Jalen would be the only guy in zone, right, on occasion, right? And I think for the most part, look, we had the best defense 2 years ago, top five defense last year, and doing a top five defense when your offense doesn't carry the burden is tough to do.
Yes.
I think, in his heart of hearts, he'd say, you know what? A couple of extra pieces are what we need. We don't need to tinker too much with the scheme. We're pretty happy with what we've done defensively. That's my guess. Here we are speaking for Doug Marrone, Nick Foles, and Calais Campbell this morning. Let's check in with XL Primetime.
Now, the two-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Waiting in line is so 2018. App your way to the front of the line. Order Moe's online or in the app. Walk in, grab the food, and go.
Hello, Hacker.
Mike, what's going on, man?
Hacker, we'll put you. We're gonna put you now. I got a few questions today. We're asking because Foles, Marrone, and Calais will step up to the podium.
Sure.
And so we're asking people to submit. What's the one question you'd like submitted to any one of these guys? And Tony and I were trying to answer as them under absolutely truthful conditions. No coach speak. None of that. All right. So let me fire a couple at you.
Okay.
I just see what just coming up. Nick. Okay, any plans to get together with your tight ends and wide receivers after the draft?
Once we draft one in the first round, absolutely.
Okay, what if we don't draft one in the first round? I mean, just like in general, like you plan on having like little mini camp Foles kind of, you know, extra above and beyond OTAs, mini camps, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I need to find the new Brent Celek. I need to find the new Dallas Goddard.
Brent Celek.
I need to find
the new. Can we shoot higher, please? Can we get the new Zach Ertz?
I need to find the new Zach Ertz. Absolutely.
All right. Yeah, I mean, you got to develop some chemistry here.
And tight end's important to Nick Foles. Wherever he's been, he's used the tight end.
Well, I mean, yeah, but that's been kind of the structure of their team they've had. It's interesting because actually, you know, initially when he came in last year, Ertz's targets dropped. And then he had that one spike game in like week 16 But he was more of an Alshon Jeffrey guy.
He was.
A little bit than, you know, so it's
interesting.
Unfortunately,
the Jaguars don't have that either.
Here, one more for you, Hacker. Coach Marone, Coach Hacker Marone. How high of a priority will communication be for the defense this offseason?
It's going to be very, very high. We need to get back to where we were in 2017, not so much where we were in 2018.
Can't have a bunch of guys running around saying they don't know what the hell's
going
on.
That's exactly right. You can't have Antonio Brown fair catching a ball 50 yards down the field because he's absolutely wide open.
You're saying that's a bad thing?
That's a bad thing. That's not a good thing to have happen. By the way, you mentioned Nick Foles. 2 o'clock presser, I believe we're going to be able to air that
nice.
On XL Primetime. So we'll have that. Also, former Florida Gator Chris Doering in the 1 o'clock hour, who is in Gainesville for the Orange and Blue game. We'll talk Florida spring ball and go around the SEC with Chris Doering. So we got a lot to do.
Are you proud of me that I watched the Clippers live beat the Warriors to the very end last night?
I am proud of you. Yeah, that was a great game. And boy, Golden State, not only do you blow a 31-point lead, you probably lose to Marcus Cousins in the process for the rest of the playoffs. Maybe a little question as to whether they're going to be able to repeat now.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, it shouldn't be because of DeMarcus Cousins, in my opinion. They were the best team without DeMarcus Cousins. They should still be the best team with DeMarcus, or, you know, without him now, you know. But
if I'm Houston or if I'm, you know, a team like that, I'm feeling a lot better about things now.
Yeah, I feel it's not as big as a blow, obviously, to me at least, if you lost one of the key three. You know, talk about Steph or Durant or Klay Thompson.
Well, keep in mind, Mike, that's just the West. Orlando is going to take care of things in the East.
Oh!
So it'll be Orlando and Golden State potentially in the finals.
And so will the Magic then win their first NBA Finals game in their history, or will they get swept
no,
again?
No, they did win one.
They beat
the Lakers in 2009. We
lost that in five. They did.
We're 1-8 all time in the finals.
That's pretty good.
Not bad.
Not bad. All right, Hacker. Have a good show
Thanks,
today,
guys.
Along with Leon Searcy, Matt Hayes, Joe C., coming up with Hacker Nation on XL Primetime. D-Rock's in tomorrow on the program. Nick Foles today, 2 o'clock, press conference, airing live right here on 1010 XL. That'll do it for us today. For Fat Tony, for ET, I am Mike Dempsey. Back again tomorrow from 10 to noon right here on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
Yo, Jacksonville, let's go. Two more.